The following program does not necessarily reflect the opinions and viewpoints of the staff and management of this station.
Good morning. This is Carol Gordon of Heartmenders International, broadcasting from News Radio 1000 KTOK. My husband Lewis and I founded Heartmenders International, where hearts and lives are changed. We are a generational ministry called to proclaim the message of the healing of hearts, marriages, and families. The crying challenge to keep families whole and healthy is so great today that it calls for a strong, proactive, biblical approach to life. Our Heavenly Father designed marriage and family before the fall, and He knows how to build healthy family relationships now. We have available help from heaven. Lewis and I were married for 46 years. We had almost 22 years in our honeymoon of healing before he moved to heaven in 2002. The Lord continually urged our growth and refining by his word. We encountered many of the same issues your family may be going through in the unfolding life of our family. We have had marriages that ended in divorce, financial pressures, prison terms, health problems, misunderstandings, reconciliations, and many other challenges. The Lord faithfully brought us through them. We learned to lean on Him, and He has healed, strengthened, and is maturing us. Early on, He told us to give to others what He taught us. In 19 years of ministry together, Lewis and I saw hundreds of families, thousands of individuals go up to a new level. With others in my family, we are now in our 18th year of weekly meetings on Tuesday evenings at 7, Faith Fellowship Church, 900 North May Avenue, Oklahoma City, where we share and pray for needs. Don't struggle alone. You can call in for prayer at our office Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4, at 405-495-HOPE. That's 495-4673. Again, I'm Carol Gordon, and I am so delighted to have as my guest today Craig Hill of Family Foundations, based in Colorado. And he and his dear wife Jan are longtime friends. And I'm just so happy to have you with me, Craig.
Well, it's great to be with you today, Carol.
Well, listen, I years ago heard some teachings of Craig's, and then we got to meet him and were involved in some conferences where he was, and just have been blessed by the depths of the revelation that he has brought into the body of Christ. And so I wanted to share him with you today. We're going to talk about a particular issue, and that is shame and how it affects our lives, and is so sneaky that sometimes we don't even know it's there. Craig, how did you come across this revelation? How did the Lord reveal it to you?
Well, what I really saw, Carol, like you, we were ministering to couples and families and individuals, and wondering why it was that people had such difficulty breaking compulsive habits or behaviors, or why people were struggling with so much anger. We found a lot of people struggled with anger, and as we began to ask the Lord, why is that? God began to expose the root of shame in so many people. We found that anybody struggling with anger, close to 100% of the time, has a deep root of shame inside and really doesn't understand it, really doesn't know that. And so the anger we found is really like an oil light in a car or a red light that comes on. We found with anger, for example, so many people are trying to stop anger by trying to control it or trying to find some way not to hurt people with their anger. But that the anger is really more like an oil light. And underneath that, in other words, the oil light is just an indicator. It's not the problem. The goal is not to get the red light to go out. The goal is to find out what the red light is indicating so that you can remove the problem. And so we first ran into shame just in dealing with anger and addictive behavior, patterns, emotional responses that people just couldn't seem to break, couldn't stop. And we found out the root of that really was shame.
Oh, that's so right on, because I can, looking back since I've heard some of your teachings and things the Lord has been dealing with me, see how that has affected my own family, and when I see things and can get them out in the light, and then I'm able to help other people as well as freeing my own family from effects of these kinds of things.
Well, that's true. What we found, Carol, is that a lot of people mistake or mix shame and guilt. And shame and guilt are really two very, very different things. Guilt has to do with a wrongness of action. Shame has to do with a wrongness of being. So guilt is the feeling I made a mistake. Shame is the feeling I am a mistake. And that's a huge difference.
Oh,
shame
is
the feeling there's something very, very wrong with me. Somehow I'm different than other people. I somehow don't measure up. I have to work twice as hard as other people to accomplish half as much. Or somehow or another, I'm just not who I need to be. I don't have what it takes to accomplish what I need to accomplish. And so the problem with shame as opposed to guilt it being a wrongness of action, I did something wrong, well, I can repent. I can be forgiven. I can change. I can not do that wrong thing again in the future. But shame, the feeling I am something wrong, you can't really repent. I can't repent of me. I can't cast me out. I can't get rid of me. I pretty well have to live with me for the rest of my life. And if the me deep inside is the wrong thing, then there's a deep sense of doom, a sense of I can't get out of this. I can't change. There's nothing that I can do. And I think that's the strategy of the enemy, is to impart that feeling very deep on the inside in people's hearts. And that gets them stuck in bondage for many, many years in many cases.
Yes, and I can see that the pattern being generational, where if someone has that deeply in their heart, then it's often passed to one or more of their children.
Well, that's very true. Unfortunately, shame is absolutely transgenerational, meaning whatever degree of shame you're carrying, you will inadvertently pass it on to your children. And oftentimes it does happen through anger. In other words, when something happens that causes my life to get out of control, or something that happens in my life that's not what I want, anger rises up, and many times that anger is directed toward whomever happens to be around, which usually is family members. So when something happens that causes me to feel real worthless and of no value, stirs up all that shame, then there's an intense temptation on the inside to blame somebody else and to impart that shame to them and really, in essence, make them feel more worthless than me, which is what sets up the next generation to carry the same thing.
Right. And I have been thinking, I'll toss this out to you, when someone has experienced a shame, like you just said, they want to bring it on other people so they'll feel better about themselves.
Right.
And I have a hunch, I don't have this proved out or anything, but I just have a hunch. That's why people who abuse people or were abused people then turn around and abuse other people and become perpetrators.
Well, that's exactly how it does mm-hmm. propagate generationally.
Right.
Is people will do to others what was done to them.
Yeah.
And the force of shame is very powerful. We found, Carol, on the inside. What shame does, it causes people to want to be perfectionists.
Mm-hmm.
It causes people to want to control their life, to control everything about their life, to want everything to be perfect in their life, to want their children to be perfect, their husband to be perfect, their wife to be perfect, their circumstances to be perfect. And, of course, because we live in an imperfect world, where people sin, people make mistakes, people do wrong, then that person carrying shame is constantly upset and unhappy with the fact that their life is not perfect, and then blames other people, potentially abuses other people, expresses a lot of anger at other people, and oftentimes has addictions that function to try to medicate or comfort the pain of that deep, deep feeling of worthlessness.
Right.
And I'm convinced that God never intended anybody to experience shame. Guilt is something that God did intend. Guilt is like the red light indicator in your car. Guilt emanates from your conscience and lets you know when you did something wrong. Nobody would want to go through life doing wrong things and not realizing that it was wrong. So God put guilt in our lives to let us know when we do something wrong. But shame is something entirely different. Shame is what the enemy uses to make people feel that because I did something wrong, I have no value. In other words, shame connects value with behavior. And the gospel disconnects value with behavior. The gospel says, no matter what terrible thing you did, I still love you and you're still valuable. Whereas shame says, if you do everything right, you're loved and valuable. But if you do anything wrong, you're worthless and not loved.
Yes. I can see how that's, and as we're speaking, I can see different scenarios of different people that I know that how that's played out in their lives.
Well, that's true. And we find that shame comes through growing up in families that are controlling.
Yes.
Families where shame is operative. Somebody controls the family, many times dad or mom, sometimes grandma. And by definition, the person that makes the rules that's carrying the shame is always right. By definition, you never cross them. They're always right. They do everything right. So when anything is wrong or gets out of control, someone else is blamed for it. Mm-hmm. And then the second component of shame that's very, very powerful is shame working in people causes them to hide anything that's wrong and to be very, very fearful that if anything that's wrong is discovered, I will be made to feel very worthless again. So therefore, what I must do is hide anything that's wrong, don't let anybody know. And as a result of that, it's not possible for me to get any help. I can't ever disclose to anybody what's really going on in my life for a deep, deep fear that I'm going to be hurt and wounded and made to feel worse. So therefore, I just hide and cover anything that's wrong.
Yes.
And I never allow any disclosure to come so that I can never get any help.
Yes, and the scripture tells us that we have been are filled with the presence, essence, and glory of God, but we hide it. There's a scripture that says that we have this in earthen vessels, but that we try to veil that. And so that's what we do. We try to hide. So we, in essence, cover up not only the broken places, but the blessings of the Lord when we do that.
That's true. We end up covering up everything, which is really right. A good strategy of the enemy, is to just draw focus and attention to the flaws in the earthen vessel, so to speak, and then when a person goes to try to cover up those flaws, they basically stop the light from flowing as well,
right.
And the light is then hidden to anybody.
Right. Well, we're going to a commercial right now. This is Carol Gordon and Craig Hill. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to HeartMenders International, broadcasting on News Radio 1000 KTOK on your dial. Welcome back to HeartMenders International, coming to you on 1000 KTOK, your news radio station. I'm Carol Gordon, and my guest today is Craig Hill from Colorado, and he has Family Foundations Ministries. Craig, would you like to give any of your information, your website, your how to contact
you? Sure, Carol. We have a CD series on shame that we're talking about called Identifying Shame, another one on anger. And people can access those materials through our website, which is www.familyfoundations.com. Let me say it again. It's www.familyfoundations.com. And we have several CD series, several books. I just wrote a new book on marriage called Two Fleas and No Dog, Transform Your Marriage from Fleedom to Freedom. And in that book, we're talking, part of what we're talking about is how shame impacts marriages as well.
Yeah.
Because when shame is operative in our life, then again, we isolate from people. We hide anything that's wrong. We have difficulty opening up and disclosing who we really are. And now that certainly impacts a marriage in a pretty adverse way as well.
It surely does. I know Lewis used to talk about the flea and the dog thing, but you think you found a big dog and you they're going to meet all your needs, and you wake up and you're married to another flea.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's what that book, of course, is about. Yeah. And that's really, if people were honest, that's the situation in which most people find themselves when they get married.
Right.
They married this other person because they were so excited about how that person made them feel, and without realizing it, they actually were a flea looking to that other person to meet all their needs, and unfortunately the other person was doing the same.
Yes.
So they do wake up, and now you have two fleas and no dog, and nobody has any life, and people are disappointed and wounded and hurt, and I don't know how to move out of that situation. So a lot of people, again, just hide, isolate. Their idea of resolving conflict is just don't deal with it, don't talk about it. And, of course, that never gets better through the course of a marriage.
And it affects your children so badly. I know we experience the effects of that ourselves. Lewis and I, as I said, we had 22 good years out of 46.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it was such a relief to find that we got our needs met from our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And the overflow of that then would be such a blessing to our spouse.
Yeah.
And we were able to walk that out and just have a wonderful, wonderful honeymoon for the last 22 years of Lewis's life.
Amen.
And out of that was birth HeartMenders. And HeartMenders tries to help people live intentionally and progress toward wholeness. And we also have a message on effects of shame, which I taught recently, and that will open people's heart to find freedom from the pain of their past. And we add our book, The Child Heart, to that and make this available for this month's offer for $17 by mail. Call 405-495-HOPE, and we take Visa and MasterCard. They may also call to give a tax-deductible donation. HeartMenders is a faith-based ministry, and our partners join us in our passion to help heal a broken world. Also, you may send prayer requests, donations, or product orders by mail to Post Office Box 516, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008-0516. I also want to extend an invitation to HeartMenders Healing Intensive. Part 2 of the series will be Friday evening, October 19th at 7, and Saturday the 20th, 9 to 3, at Faith Fellowship Church, 900 North May in Oklahoma City. It's called Authority for Warfare. This is a free seminar, but registration is required because we want to furnish you with the notebook. Call 405-495-HOPE or consult www.heartmenders.org. So invite everybody that can to come to that. So, Craig, I just am so thankful that the Lord has blessed all of us with revelation of how people work, how He designed them to work, how the enemy has tried to manipulate and twist that, but how the Spirit of the living God is at work to help people get back in alignment with Him.
Yes. You know, Carol, I was just thinking of an experience when I first learned about shame in my own life. I was pastoring, and my children were little. And after service one day, my youngest son's Sunday school teacher approached me and said, you know, we had to discipline your son in the Sunday school class today because he used a very bad word and called me by a horrible name. And she told me the name that he had called her, and I didn't even know he knew that name. He was 4 years old at the time.
Oh,
and as a pastor, I felt so embarrassed. I felt my face turning about three shades of red, and I thought, well, she probably thinks that I taught him that word, or that's how we speak in our family. And my son, a little four-year-old boy, was just standing across the foyer there in the church, and so I thought, well, I'll just go over there and spank him right now and show her that I think this is important and I'm not going to let him use a word like that. And as I was on my way over to do that, the Holy Spirit stopped me. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, well, Lord, I'm going to discipline my son. And really at that point, my heart was filled with anger. And I wanted to let him know how badly he had behaved and how what a terrible thing he had done. And the Lord said, no, you're not about to discipline your son. You're about to shame your son. You're about to become the devil's agent to impart to him Satan's message instead of my message. And I said, well, Lord, what do you mean? And the Lord said, well, what's really happened is deep inside, you have a bunch of your shame stirred up because your identity is actually not secure in me. You don't believe that I love you just for who you are. You believe that now you have no value as a pastor and no value as a father, and you're a terrible father and a terrible pastor because your four-year-old little boy used a bad word, and so now you're going to take all that worthlessness that you feel and you're going to dump it all over your little four-year-old son and make him feel more worthless than you do. And actually what you're going to do is not legitimate discipline. What you're going to do is strip him of his value and impart to him Satan's message, which is because you used a wrong word and you did something wrong, you are a bad boy. There's something wrong with you. You have no value. You're not loved. And the Lord said, that is not my attitude. My attitude is your son's value has not changed at all. Yes, it's true that he needs discipline, but he doesn't need to be shamed and made to feel worthless because he did something wrong. He needs to know that he's still loved and valuable in your sight. And that really changed my perspective. The Lord said, actually gave me that scripture that Jesus spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. He said to me, you are the appointed and anointed vessel of God to discipline your son, but at this moment you're disqualified because you have such a large log in your own eye, you can't see to take the speck out of your son's eye because your heart is filled with shame and worthlessness. You're going to take all that lack of value and dump it all over your son and make him feel more worthless than you.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, that was an incredible revelation when I saw that, Carol, and it took the Lord an hour of dealing with my heart before I was okay to go and legitimately discipline my son for what he had done rather than shame him, so that when I did, I was able to say to him, you know, son, I love you, and nothing will ever change that. There's nothing you can do that will cause me not to love you. But you did wrong, and as a result of that, I need to bring some discipline to your life, and I'm going to spank you. But I want you to know that doesn't change your value in my sight. I love you just the same.
Amen.
And, you know, that was healing for him instead of devastating for him.
Right. I remember what you had said, that I had heard that you wanted your kids to be healthy kids, so you never did tell them they were good kids, because then the alternative was to be a bad kid.
Yeah. No, a lot of parents use that word, be a good boy or be a good girl, and I found that in reality, if you decipher what they really mean, that's a code word for perfect. Be a perfect boy, be a perfect girl, and of course that's not possible, so when children violate that, then they end up being told by their parents, well, you're not a good boy, you're not a good girl. See, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl. And that is an impartation of shame right there that says,
sure,
see,
is.
There's something wrong with you.
It sure is.
It's not what you do or what you did that is the problem. It's who you are, and that's the impartation of shame.
Yes.
Many times, actually, parents will even say or speak right into the lives of their children, shame on you.
Right.
And that right there, here the Lord Jesus died to remove shame from us, and parents are busy imparting shame, saying
yes.
The very, very opposite.
Well,
so
when we
learn
these
things, I would really
things.
Encourage people, our listeners today, that if you're recognizing some of these symptoms in your family, or you've heard those words coming out of your mouth toward your children or toward other people, I really encourage you to get one of these, or really get both of these teachings, the one that Carol was mentioning that you can get from Heart Menders, and the one that I did that you can get from familyfoundations.com, and get some of this information, get some of the Word of God in your heart. And, you know, we didn't really have time today to go through a lot of scriptures on that, but there are a ton of scriptures that talk about shame and how Jesus wants to remove it.
Craig, we're going to have to get off the air now. Thank you so much for being with me. Hasn't this been wonderful, folks? This is Carol Gordon saying goodbye from News Radio KTOK. Till next week. And I trust that we are expanding your vision of the possibilities of healing. You're welcome to Heart Menders meetings or call us by phone for prayer support or products at 405-495-HOPE. You may also visit our website at www.heartmenders.org. Thanks, Craig, and thank all of you.